Item number three, found on page 15, mental health co-responder case manager.
Councilman Major Hart for the Warwick Police Department. The police department is requesting a 56-6 exception to bid to renew our contract with Thrive Behavioral Health. The department has had a very successful program with it where a mental health clinician is assigned to our department and works directly with our officers to respond to mental health emergencies, manage cases, and provide resources that provide the best options to our residents. The department is seeking spending authority in the amount of $82,076.80 from budget code 321-0478 for a one-year period. This contract period would begin on March 11, 2026 and expire on March 10, 2027.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Okay, Chief, I'm sorry, Major. How do we get charged for the services? Is this a position of $82,000, is this a salary position, or is it invoiced individually by hours, et cetera?
It's invoiced by Thrive to cover the salary position of this clinician.
And this is not a payroll employee. Is this a subcontract?
It's subcontracted through Thrive. They take care of all the benefits, employee, whatever else is there. We just contract with them.
And it also states in your in the position paper, this professional was assigned within the department and works alongside specially trained members of the police department. What is the training and certification of the members of the police department that this position works with?
So we were one of the first departments in the state almost, I want to say like 15 years ago, to establish mental health officers, which is now crisis intervention officers. And they're specifically trained to recognize signs and symptoms of mental health distress, acute emergencies, and work on de-escalation techniques, work on their list of resources that they have in conjunction with the mental health clinician. So it's really a team effort to try to find this person, which traditionally would have been just a police call, to get them into mental health services, whether that's outpatient through Thrive, it's urgent and critical right into an ER, or to another hospital, but it diverts people into the appropriate resources, and they're trained in all those techniques.
Okay. It also says that Thrive Behavioral Health shall maintain in good standing all licenses, permits required, et cetera, et cetera. Are those certifications and licenses, are they maintained at the police department as well?
No, that would be through the Department of Health that licensed them as some type of behavioral health care facility.
Okay, but those certifications and licenses, they must be presented to the department before this person performs services for us, right?
They are presented as part of the, what I believe is with the contract that they sign with us.
Okay.
And the Thrive vets their own people who are certified mental health clinicians and caseworkers.
Okay. Does anyone else on the committee have any questions? By the way, this, if I remember correctly, I believe this was a program that was first implemented by Colonel McCartney, I think. I think it goes back to then, right?
It was Colonel McCartney and Captain Coffey who started this many years ago.
Right.
Again, I think we were one of the first in the state, and we're the longest serving one.
And as I recall, it has been a very successful relationship.
It's been fantastic with all the different agencies we've worked with. At one time it was the Providence Center, now it's Thrive because they have the Kent County catchment area that's determined by the state. The clinicians have been fantastic. They're available off hours. Officers can call their cell phones. They can have consults right over the phone. It's extremely successful.
Okay. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'd just like to say that I fully support this program. It's fantastic that Warwick was a leader in this area, and it truly does help the police department protect and serve all of the residents, avoiding unnecessary confrontations and just otherwise helping to direct people to the most appropriate resources, as you've stated. So I'd like to make sure that when it comes to these kinds of highly successful programs, that we do take a moment to recognize them. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything further from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any comments or questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you, Major. We will move on to item number four. Item number four through 10 are under the $50,000 mark. Does anyone have any items that they wish to have pulled out? Anyone on the committee? Any items you would like to have pulled out?
Councilman Mulo, did you want to pull yours?
No. He's not saying anything.
Councilman Mulo?
No. No need to pull that out.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's bear with me 1 minute. I want to look at one item. I'm all set. Does anyone on the council have any items they wish to have pulled out? No one over there. Any items from members of the public that you would like to have held? Any items from or for members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to the... we're going to vote on this one?
Yes, right, please provide a recommendation on the remainder of PCR 2526 before moving to the next item. They're separate resolutions.
Yes. So the PCR will be voted separately from the consent calendar, right?
We are looking for a recommendation on PCR 2526,
right,
of which one item has been removed.
Okay. Perfectly said. Do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second by Councilman Napper. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And now we'll move separate on the PCR 2826. We've moved that to the floor. Okay. Got it. Okay. Now we'll move on to this month's bid package. And this is PCR 26-26. And we will start with the first item, 2026-382. Major, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just finding myself again. Sorry.
Hello again, sir. Robert Hart for the police department. The police department is requesting a 5610 use of the state master price agreement, public safety equipment 01, abbreviated PSE01, to replace our dispatch console furniture, which is nearing 22 years of service. This capital project would replace outdated and faulty consoles for up to 5 dispatchers. The new consoles would allow for a new efficient layout of the room and improve workflow. In addition to ergonomics and layout, the consoles would allow for a planned upgrade to a statewide dispatch system that requires more computer monitors and more space per dispatcher. This project will be managed by our longtime communications vendor, Cybercom, who will coordinate a temporary relocation of the dispatchers during the removal and replacement of the consoles. And the new consoles by Watson Furniture include a lifetime parts warranty and 10-year electrical warranty. These Watson consoles are in use at several dispatch centers in the state, including at the Warwick Fire Department. The department is seeking spending authority in the amount of $170,000 from budget code 499-0450 capital outlay.
Okay, questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napper?
Thank you, Major. Just looking at the capital budget to reconcile this, you're
actually $5,000 less than what was approved in the capital budget. Is that just because we came in lower than anticipated?
That is correct. It came in around 166 and change. We asked for 170 in cases incidentals, more cables, more plugs, or whatever like that.
And this is going to be amortized essentially over 20 years through the lease purchase program?
I believe that's how that, correct.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
So, Councilman Knapp, you're all set? Okay. Major, thanks for identifying what that section was in that thing. I'm looking at it and saying, okay, is this a table or is it a bench? Or I guess it's all of the above, but thank you for that. In the position, in your position paper, you reference has long surpassed their intended service life. And it's pretty obvious to me that after 22 years of using this equipment for a whole bunch of reasons, it's beyond its intended service life. But just so that department heads realize, and I've sent this off to the chief as well, going forward, when that position is taken, that this is extended its service life, it's beyond its useful use, I personally are going to be looking for specifics as to why. In this case, I get it. But you also state that the current condition of consoles poses a challenge to both operational efficiency, which I think is pretty obvious, and employee safety comfort. What safety are we talking about?
So dispatch consoles are designed kind of like, are you familiar with like a stand-up desk? They raise and lower. They have mechanics, hydraulics, electronics.
We actually have one in the council office. We do.
They don't work anymore. And if they do work, sometimes one side will go up while the other side goes down and the keyboard falls off, the mouse falls off, things get tangled. It's not very good.
That's clear, even to me. That's clear. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number two. Purchase one Flock safety drone, found on page 13. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, the Major was just getting warmed up.
I know.
He's just getting warmed up, and you booted him off.
It's been about 4 years since I've been in this position, so take it easy on me.
I remember.
I'm a little rusty.
go ahead, Colonel.
All right. Colonel Michael Lima with the Police Department. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this evening about this purchase. I'd like to talk to you about a proposal that I believe will significantly improve how the Warwick Police Department responds to calls for service. Specifically, I'd like to introduce the concept of a drone as a first responder program and why we believe implementing one in partnership with Flock Safety would be a valuable addition to public safety in our city. A drone as a first responder program is actually a very simple concept. When someone calls 911 or initiates a police response by calling the police department directly, a drone can launch immediately and respond to the location of the call, often arriving over the scene before an officer gets there. The drone sends live video back to dispatch and responding officers so they can see what is actually happening in real time. In many cases, the drone can arrive in about a minute, while officers may take several minutes depending on where they're coming from in the city. That means officers are no longer driving to the unknown. They're driving to a scene they can already see. Think of it as providing officers with an extra set of eyes in the sky that can get to the scene very quickly and give us immediate situational awareness. And just to be clear, the drone does not replace our officers. It's simply a tool that allows us to gather information quickly and help officers make better decisions before they arrive. Departments across the country that have implemented drone as first responder programs are seeing significant operational benefits. In many cases, the drone is first on scene in roughly 70% of the calls it responds to, and often arrives in 60 to 90 seconds. Some agencies have also reported that drones are able to determine that officers are not needed in about 20% of calls, allowing patrol units to remain available for higher priority incidents. There are three primary reasons I believe this program would benefit the Warwick Police Department and the community. First is officer and public safety. When officers respond to calls today, they often arrive with limited information and what they are walking into. Having real-time video allows our officers and supervisors to better assess the situation and approach it more safely. Second, it helps us deploy our resources more efficiently. By quickly determining what is actually happening on scene, we can ensure that the right number of officers and the right resources are responding to the call. Third, it's a cost-effective way to enhance our capabilities. Traditionally, aerial support and policing meant operating a helicopter, which can cost millions of dollars to purchase and hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to operate. A drone as a first responder program allows departments like ours to gain many of those same situational awareness benefits at a fraction of the cost. This program would also allow us to support our partners in the fire department. A drone can be deployed to the scene of an active or reported fire to provide responding fire personnel with real-time aerial information, helping them better assess conditions and respond more effectively. In addition, drones can be a valuable tool before and after significant weather events. They allow us to quickly and safely document damage across the city, which can assist municipal leadership in accurately assessing impacts and ensuring the city is well positioned when seeking potential state or federal disaster recovery funding. One thing I do want to emphasize is that the use of drones is not new to the Warwick Police Department. We currently operate three drones deployed in specific situations, such as searches, crash reconstruction, SWAT operations, and other incidences where an aerial perspective can be helpful to the officers on the ground. Our officers who operate those drones are trained and certified, and this program operates within FAA regulations, departmental policies, and all local, state, and federal laws. Whenever we talk about drone technology, one of the first questions people understandably have is about privacy. I want to be clear that this program would not be used for random surveillance or monitoring neighborhoods. These drones are deployed only in response to specific calls for service, much like sending a patrol car. Their purpose is simply to give responding officers better situational awareness during an active call. Ultimately, this program is about giving our officers better information faster and improved safety, helps us deploy our resources more efficiently, and allows us to continue providing the level of service our community expects. We are only seeking one drone as a first responder drone at this point. The drone will be situated on the roof of the police department. The proposal is a three-year contract with Flock Safety. The total cost of the contract is $150,000, which is paid evenly over the 3 years at $50,000 per year. If approved, we would use the department's federal asset forfeiture account, which is code 364-0400, thus meaning no tax dollars will be used to fund this program. The contract would officially start once the drone is fully operational. I appreciate the council's time, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
The council president just pointed out that we're close to 6:30, and he has requested to get the full council meeting started on time, and I have no objection to that. Any objection from members of the committee? Hearing none, we will recess the finance committee at 6:27. And chief, don't go away, because we'll be calling you back. You're welcome.
I was shooting from the hip then. You hit it. If you click on it, there's a button that says hi.
I should have gone over one more that way. Thanks.
No problem.
City Council will convene at 6:32 p.m. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinappi. Mr. DeLuise.
Here.
Mr. Foley. Yes. Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Kirby.
Here.
Mr. Lattison.
Here.
Mr. Muto.
Here.
Mr. Napa.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Nine present.
If Councilman Ricks could please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the
to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly and the rockets red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land
First up is general communications. This includes announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Unfortunately, condolences are in order. Someone well known to the City Council, Michael Zarum, a longtime resident of Warwick who grew up here, moved, had an excellent professional experience and came back and served this city of Warwick, has passed away. Briefly, Mike's experience in serving the city of Warwick included 9 years on the Warwick Land Trust as the Ward 2 appointee. He was also the president of the Bucky Brook Coalition, the official state-designated watershed for that area, an organization he'd been involved with in leadership for over 15 years. Very knowledgeable on a wide range of issues from environment to the airport, putting his knowledge and experience as an engineer to service. He raised awareness on many issues and came before the Warwick City Council on many issues, including those affecting public safety, such as the hazards of ultra-fine particles relating to the airport, as well as working on, along with this the City Council and the mayor at the time, issues relating to the de-icing fluid from the airport, and addressing those concerns, including significant work that the airport later implemented. For all of those reasons, I ask for a moment of silence.
We could all please have a moment of silence for Mr. Zarum. Councilman DeLuise.
It's more congratulations to the administration, to the employees of the city, everybody that works in City Hall, as well as all the councilmen, the DPW, the fire department, the police department, and everybody that took care of people in this blizzard. I know that I had to go to a hotel because I lost power, but the streets got plowed so that I was able to do that, and with the help of the city. And I know that other councilmen had constituents calling because their streets weren't plowed, and the city did what they could with the availability. And just like to say,
point well taken. Councilman Napa.
Yes, just like to request a moment of silence for former City Councilwoman Helen Taylor, passed away in February, survived by her two children. She served in Ward 3 City Council long before my tenure, and I didn't have the pleasure to know her, but from my understanding, she was very well respected and did good work on this council. So I'd like to request a moment of silence in honor of Ms. Taylor.
Could we please have a moment of silence for Ms. Taylor? Councilman Gebhardt.
Back to congratulations. I'd like to congratulate our city's culinary students and robotics team who are headed to their respective national championships. And this Friday evening at Runway 41, there will be a fundraiser, and you may see myself guest bartending between 6 and 7. So don't expect any change, but anything that you can do to help support these kids and get them to their national championships is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Stole my announcement. That's the pitfalls of going last. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would also echo the comments from Councilman DeLuise. I'd also like to extend my appreciation to all of my constituents. Obviously, it was a very trying, difficult few days for everyone, but I can honestly say in the couple of hundred communications that I received from my constituents, I didn't have anyone like screaming and hollering. Simple question, you know, when are they gonna get here to plow the street? I think some of it was some folks just didn't realize the severity of the conditions that the plow drivers were working under, like 3 inches of ice under the snow, sliding off the road and needing another heavy piece of equipment to pull them out, which answered a question for me when numerous people were calling, why did they just leave? Well, unfortunately, the reason they had to leave was they had to go pull out a colleague. Considering everything that we had to deal with, I have to say that I really appreciate the patience on behalf of all of my colleagues. And I never thought I'd see the day where I was happy to be plowed out at the latter end of the storm. Because when people would call and say, are you plowed out yet? No, as of Tuesday night, I have not been. So anyways, just a little jest there. But thank you to everyone.
All right, does anyone else have anything for general communications? Councilman DeLuise.
It's working now. If you don't mind, a little bit of levity, and I'll just take a couple of minutes. So this pertains to the snowstorm, and councilmen and so an 89-year-old woman called me. She was irate that some snow plows had plowed snow into her driveway. So I asked her address, and my friend and I went to her house. He's 78 years old, so he wasn't going to shovel. I said, please calm down, Helen, please calm down. So my friend and I, he's going to supervise, I'm going to shovel. And she said, well, how's my son going to get in the driveway? I cook for him every night. I said, so now as I'm shoveling, I said, by the way, how old is your son? Now, I have a torn rotator cuff. And she said, my son's 64 years old. I said, well, he's younger than I am. And she said, but he lives in the best ward. He lives in Ward 5, and the councilman in Ward 5, he's the best. So I said to Helen, I said, yeah, I'm trying to be just like Ed Lattiser. That's what I want to be. True story.
And I didn't pay him to say that either.
Anyone else have anything for general communications? All right, seeing none. Executive communications, there are none. Next, we have public comment. Normally, this wouldn't be here, but because the second meeting of the month last month got pushed, it's here. So Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. And on my list first is Bob Cushman. And even though I just stated your name, when you get to the mic, please state your name for the record.
It's Robert Cushman. The reason I'm coming here tonight is something happened at the last council meeting that's very concerning to me. There was a specific ordinance that basically required healthcare to be competitively bid every 3 years. And, you know, I asked a couple of questions, you know, beforehand in the purchasing and in the finance committee meeting concerning ordinance and things like that, which it seems like we're very inconsistent in following certain ordinances. So, for example, you know, Charter 611 is the charter that allows for competitive bidding. And within that charter amendment, there is a clause that says, and with such exceptions as the council may prescribe by ordinance. And so when you look at all the ordinances in Chapter 56, which is on purchasing, those apply to that. That gives you, the council, the authority to create ordinances for exceptions to purchasing or other kinds of rules. And that's why when you look at the bid package, you see 56-6 all the time. That's a specific ordinance that says you don't have to go out for a competitive bid on certain things. Well, there was also an ordinance called in Section 2.20. And the reason why I'm so familiar with this is because I was one of the main sponsors almost 20 years ago that basically told the council that we need to go out for competitive bid, along with the late Councilman Solomon and some of my other colleagues, because we did not want something like this to continue to go on year after year without a competitive bid and testing the market again. And, you know, I think what happened is that, you know, we used one sentence in another part of the charter, Chapter 612, that says alterations in any contract may be made when authorized by a council upon the recommendations of a mayor, to basically, in my opinion, throw that ordinance away. That should not happen. One part of the charter should not supersede another part of the charter. They should be in harmony with each other. So the fact that you can come in and say that, well, Section 220 is no longer valid because you just basically did a $65 million no-bid contract, but then in other cases, we're going to use 56-6 or whatever. 611 authorized the creation of that ordinance to do that. And I think, you know, there's another, you know, section, and I emailed every council member a document that I took a look at. But the importance, what's the importance of a competitive bid? The importance, just for healthcare, there's nothing else in the charter that talks about any other purchase where there's a specific time limit on it. There's no other ordinance that says that. Why is that important? It's important because you signed that contract with the Interlocal Trust 5 years ago. Healthcare has changed dramatically in 5 years, but you're just going to continue to use the same stipulations, the same terms. Who knows how much savings there could be by making language changes or whatever, or going out for bid. The other thing is, I looked in the budget. There was a $30,000 line item this council approved for a healthcare consultant. I don't know why the administration did not hire a healthcare consultant, either through a competitive bid or whatever, and you guys accepted that bid, but they should have done that. And that healthcare consultant is an expert on healthcare. They're the ones that would go out, set up an RFP. And let's just say, even by chance, you do an RFP and you end up going with the Interlocal Trust. But those are the people that could go in and negotiate with the Interlocal Trust on healthcare changes that could potentially save us who knows how much money. But what are we doing? We're basically going to take that same contract from 2021. It was a three-year contract. We extended it for 2 years. And by the way, the only reason I saw this thing is because I came to the council for another purpose. But because this was so close to my heart and what I wanted to do as a council member, I recognized that there was an ordinance. I don't think anybody in the council chambers knew there was an ordinance on the health care. But my point is, is that you should be going out for a competitive bid. You should be using the experts. I hope you still have time to do this. And I really think you really need to reconsider, because the precedent that you set at that last council meeting was basically that that ordinance 2.20 is no longer valid. And if that's the case, then what other ordinance in Chapter 56 is no longer valid? So, you know, I hope, like I said, you follow the ordinance. If you still have an opportunity to do this, reconsider what you did and go out for a competitive bid, because I guarantee you will save hundreds of thousands of dollars. Thank you.
Rob Cody.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I'd like to discuss, I take a couple of minutes. I want to discuss the fact that due to recent events, we need to look at employee protocol and employee training, because actions of city employees have put this city and the taxpayers at great risk with litigation. And I might as well just sidestep that to remind you all that as of this week, it's 2.5 years since the former councilwoman and convicted criminal from Ward 6, Donna Travis, violated my First Amendment rights, which every day that goes by is costing the city money in litigation, and the city keeps dragging it out. But, you know, we need to rein in our spending. We have serious litigation facing us, right? Because of the actions of employees. We've had several issues out of the DPW that we just settled for $1 million, plus you got others that are outstanding because of rear-ending accidents. We have, for those that you don't know, you have a current DPW employee that in January 14th went on YouTube and made an hour and 15 minute video with two other drug addicts discussing how through his entire employment through the city of Warwick as a CDL operator, he did every drug in the book, quote, except stuck a needle in my arm. He talks about doing cocaine, smoking meth, smoking pot, eating pills, and drinking on the job. He goes into detail. He talks about going to Harbor Freight Tools to steal tools on the clock so he could support his habit. He talks about his great supervisor that knew about his problem and would let him leave the city at noontime in a city vehicle to drive out of the city to go get his fix. You know what the common denominator is? He's still employed. He put us at risk. He talked intensively about his method, how he would avoid the drug screening for the CDL test. Still employed, still with a job on YouTube. All right? Would that happen in private business? You'd be fired immediately. With regards to reining in our spending, we have a $75 million lawsuit hanging over our head that was hid from the general public. Here it is now. It's all a matter of public information. All right? I have all the documents. I even have the body cam footage. All right? We had an incident that shouldn't have gone down this way, that due to an interaction with a Warwick police officer, we have a man now that is rendered a paraplegic. Paraplegic. He can't do anything on his own. We're being sued for $75 million. Why? For the same reasons that my rights were violated. Employees that don't know their boundaries when it comes to civil rights, constitutional rights. Now, I would never get in the face of a police officer and use vulgarity. Not my thing. You take that another day. But unfortunately, as crass as that is, it's constitutionally protected speech. There's nothing that says you can't put your phone in a police officer, near a police officer, and videotape them. And you shouldn't have to expect that you're going to get tackled to the ground face first, fracture your spinal cord, and be rendered as a paraplegic. We are going to lose this case, and pray to God it doesn't go to jury, because if it goes to jury, and I've seen all the body cam footage, the city's screwed. We're screwed. We might as well file for insolvency now. We're in big trouble. My point is, we're buying all these toys. We're buying drones. We're buying ammo. We're buying $836,000 worth of inventory. We're spending like drunken sailors. We've got the schools ahead of us. We've got unfunded liabilities. We are going down a really bad fiscal hole, and I don't see any change in how we're comporting ourselves, whether it's paying attention to city ordinances, inventory controls. We have no inventory controls. It's like in the 1930s.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Cody.
We buy stuff, we throw it on the shelf. We can't track any of it. At the end of the day, The common denominator is the citizens are put at risk financially. When this lawsuit settles, this big Bremer versus the city of Warwick, and it's going to settle, mark my words. You know who's going to pay for that? Everybody in this audience. We're only insured for $5 million. You just had a Providence City Councilwoman that got hit by a DPW plow in California. Not really, nothing even close to severe as this individual. She settled $19.5 million. Okay? We need, I'm telling you, strap on, because when this thing finally goes, we're going to be in trouble. We need to start amending our ways. We need to train employees onto First Amendment rights, constitutional rights. And if somebody does violate it, first offense should be fired. Everybody, what the other common denominator? They all get to retire. Full benefits, full health care package.
Time's up, Mr. Cody.
Even though they committed crimes and cost the taxpayers money. So please, we need to look at that. Thank you.
And one moment, please. All right, unless there's any objection, we'll go back to Finance Committee then. That concludes public comment.
Let the record indicate it is now 6:56 p.m. and the Finance Committee is back in order. Chief, you got the floor, sir.
Just open to questions.
Sorry? You're done? Okay.
Yes.
So, any questions from members of the committee? I think we had two, at least two. Councilman Napa, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Chairman.
You want to go next?
Chief, I just want to say thank you for hosting me at the police department along, I believe, the chief of staff and the mayor were on the Zoom meeting. I had the opportunity to watch one of these drones fly live with the demonstration from the Flock company, and I believe it was out in Atlanta. Truly impressive piece of software. And I'd assume that some of my other colleagues may have shared some of the same concerns about safety and pretextual flyovers and different things that kind of popped into my brain. Those items were all addressed. They were addressed thoroughly. I really, truly commend your preparation and your willingness to go above and beyond to make sure that at least this council person was satisfied that the use would be appropriate, that the need for the technology is there, that this was instituted in and successfully instituted in other cities and towns. A couple of things that stuck out to me was how well the technology integrated with or is going to integrate if we approve it with dispatch, and how it's going to integrate with flight plans and FAA regulations as far as we have an airport in the center of the town, right? So we have this drone that's going to be zipping here and there, and it's not going to interfere because of the use of the technology and flight patterns. I, for one, think that this is going to be a great addition. The spending authority that's coming from
federal assets.
The federal asset seizures. Those can only be spent in a very finite amount of ways, from my understanding, and this is one of the allowable ways to expend those funds. So I think this is a good program. I am fully in support. And again, I appreciate all the time and effort that you put in to make sure that we had all the information we needed to make a good informed decision on this matter.
Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
Thank you, Chief. In the case of a swatting incident, would this help in that type of situation?
It would. So right now, if we had a swatting incident, we have to utilize certain techniques that are available to us online. Some of those techniques and programs out there might be a little outdated. So if we had this drone up, we could get real-time information. We can ask real questions to that person who's on the other line and basically refute what they're saying. So I don't want to go into too much detail about what right. we ask and what we do, but definitely, if a SWAT call, this would be a perfect example for that.
And just a follow-up, in the last year, how many swatting incidences have there been in Warwick?
About a handful. And then the last one was, I believe it was in Councilman Lattice's ward, right off of Tidewater.
Tiffany Avenue.
Tiffany, yeah. I think there was another one, too, right off, maybe on Friendship, there was a swatting call as well. Mm-hmm. So we probably average four-ish, four to five a year.
You're welcome. You're set. Councilman Muto.
Thank you. I was squealing every time. I'm not going to put my mouth on it. Thank you, Chief. Just a couple of questions. I applaud you and your staff and the Warwick Police Department for the initiatives that you've been taking, whether it's upgrading the department, upgrading the technology, also looking at behavioral health, community involvement, all great things. I also applaud you for looking at different ways of policing within our community, both in an operational efficiency way and an effective way. I put this in the bucket of effectiveness. However, I do have a couple of practical questions for you. So we're looking at the seizure dollars of $50,000 per year for one drone. Realistically, to cover our city, we're probably gonna need 4 or 5 drones. Or correct me, how many?
I think we can get away with 2. So this one drone that launches from the roof of our police department is going to be able to cover basically the whole Route 2 corridor, all the way south down to even Pottawamat, just north of Ives Road, that part of the neighborhood. It'll wrap around into Buttonwoods area, basically to Oakland Beach, and then it could travel up Oakland Beach to Warwick Ave, all the way up to Hoxie Four Corners, back down Airport Road, and maybe cover a little bit of the neighborhood of Sand Pond by 37.
Okay. So let's fast forward two drones. When we roll this out, you know, we're assuming that we're going to have a successful rollout. Is adding a drone an additional $50,000 per drone? And if it is, do we have the forfeiture money to cover growing of this program?
Right now, we don't have that funding to cover it. It's a revolving account. We make seizures, you know, often. So when that money comes in, we use it, as the councilman said, it's only specific reasons that we can use it. For law enforcement purposes only. So we kind of hold on to it until we realize a program that we want to invest in. And this is one of those programs. So I would think that in the next 3 years, we will build that fund and more than likely be able to fund 2, but we should be able to at least fund 1 based on historical seizures that we have.
Okay, so your objective and your main reason or your main plan is to use forfeiture money for this program, not taxpayer money.
Correct. And I should add, that drone will cover the whole city. The issue is that it's not going to be able to get way out, get a view of a scene, and then make it back in time. So we would have to drop the drone down on scene with our officers, call it hot swap a battery out, and then put the drone back up in the air. The only issue with that is the drone loses its capability of flying back to the station on its own. So we would have to manually fly it back, which we could, or we could just drop it down and then transport it back by vehicle.
Well, I appreciate the initial test covering my ward and ignoring Councilman Foley's ward, which I appreciate that 100%. Thank you, that's all I have.
You're welcome.
Chief, I also attended that Zoom meeting on the presentation of the drones. And I must say, it was quite interesting in the capabilities of that product. My concern is the finances on paying for this in perpetuity, because if we commit to make a $150,000 commitment on something, it's not likely that we're gonna back off on this because we may need 3 or 4 drones instead of 2. My concerns are further because if I remember, and certainly feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I remember that the maximum capability of that drone is 3.5 miles from where it's sitting.
Correct. To be able to go out to a scene.
Boom. As the drone flies 3.5 miles.
View the scene for some time and fly back.
Right. Correct. And it has a battery operating capacity of about 25 minutes. I think that's what it was.
Optimally, it's 55. That's what it's tested for, but that's under super ideal conditions.
Right.
Realistically, that battery life is about 45 minutes, give or take a few minutes, depending on weather conditions.
So this drone would sit on the roof of the police station, right?
Correct. It's in an enclosed.
Yeah.
Correct. In a box. Yes.
And when we're talking 3.5 miles, that's with like in the best of circumstances. No wind, no this, no that, no snow, no hail, rain, or sleet. Best optimum performance would be 3.5 miles. I think to cover the city, you're going to need more than two drones, wouldn't you? 3.5 miles from the station out to wherever, if we're on the outskirts over at Pottawamat or we're down on the outskirts of Cranston.
The one area when I ran the numbers that would not be covered with two drones would be the south side of Ives Road on Pottawamat. And there's not a lot of activity over there at all.
So the possibility exists that we could need three. Now we're talking 150,000 a year.
But three is ideal if you wanted three. We don't need three. We can get away.
Start with one.
Starting with one.
Correct.
If we needed to add two when we had the funding, we could. And I agree, if the funding is not there in 3 years, then the program more than likely is going to end. Just like if we don't have the funding for our clinician that we just spoke about not too long ago. We use opioid money for that. When that funding runs out, which it will, if we don't have unlimited money, it's either come back and try to get money into our budget or the program ends. It's what we decide and how you guys decide on whether or not you want us to fund it.
I'm concerned with the open checkbook on this. That's my concern.
Great. It's only a three-year contract, though. So at 3 years, if we don't re-up,
we're done. I understand. But in 3 years, if we just scrap the program for whatever reason, we're out 150 grand.
Well, no, because we've been using that technology for 3 years with the benefits that it's going to provide.
Mm-hmm. Can the asset forfeiture money, could that be used as an example for that console in the police station?
It should fit. It has to have a law enforcement purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Normally that's technology, software, stuff like that. I would have to look into that. I'm not sure if that would qualify as a law enforcement purpose, but...
Mm-hmm. And so there's whole lots of people that have drones. Insurance companies use them. Contractors use them. There's drones being used everywhere. Has the department looked into purchasing one of those? I don't know what we'd call it. A non-commercial drone that would do the same thing.
So it's more than just the drone. It's the software. It's the technology that comes behind it. As you see on the bid package, we are looking to purchase two drones that's going to replace two of our older drones.
Right.
Those drones are meant for interior type searches at SWAT type calls. We have another drone that we do have that we use at traffic reconstruction scenes right now, missing persons. But with this program, not only do you get the drone, you get the software, the technology behind it, but they also go through the whole waiver process with the FAA. So that'll allow us to fly that drone up to 200 feet, basically in all areas, obviously not right over the runway. But if you actually looked at a map for the drone enthusiasts, you're going to see that there's a lot of areas around the city where it's got a zero. And that means they can't fly the drone at all. That's all waived. And that's what Flock does. They go out, they get these COWs that they call them, and that allows us to fly these drones, both in areas that the normal person can't and also outside of visual line of sight.
And on page 15 in our binder, I'm just going to read this to you because I'm going to look for some more detail on it. Strictly reactive use of robust transparency. The DFR activates solely in response to specific calls for service. Let me read on further. And it is never used for general patrol, proactive surveillance, routine monitoring, et cetera. What is response to specific calls?
That's any type of 911 call that comes into the station, or a lot of people don't call 911, they call the police department directly and say, hey, there's fireworks going off in my neighborhood. There's a tree that fell down. There's a suspicious vehicle parked somewhere. That's what we're talking about. We're not using this drone as we would in a proactive sense where our officers, you know, leave the back lot of our station and drive around looking for activity, right? That's what our officers do on a proactive basis every day. This drone is strictly responding in a reactive mode. We're not going to send this up looking for people speeding, looking for people dealing drugs, spying on people in their backyards, doing anything other than a legitimate call that comes in and then dealing with that call.
Another concern I have is I just read an article where the Supreme Court has pretty much hammered the flock cameras in California. Rule them unconstitutional. Assuming that is true, what happens if, well, we'll know what happens. If that occurs here, then this, not only the flock cameras history, so would this. Do you know anything about that Supreme Court decision in California?
I haven't heard it, and it's two separate things. Anyway, the drone program and their ALPR cameras are two separate things.
But the drones are part of the flock program.
You could use it that way. We're not, because our ordinance doesn't allow it to.
But this speaks to flock throughout this document.
Flock is the vendor. They
right,
have the vendor. Multiple different products like companies.
So this drone mm-hmm. has no interaction with flock cameras whatsoever?
Correct.
And it's flock safety that requires a 3-year contract?
Correct.
But one is not tied into the other. So flock cameras is a completely separate product, item, discipline than the drone?
Correct. And a separate contract altogether as well.
A separate contract.
Correct.
You already answered my questions about the FAA items. Hold on 1 minute. There is a lot of 3 or 4 pages of items that says all descriptions in terms of flock safety. DFR drone hardware, 350 drone decks. It just goes on and on. Flock software, flock aerodrome services, air traffic awareness modules. Are we getting all of that stuff that's in here?
Yes, we are getting everything. If you look at the DFR drone hardware section, that's the very first section, from DGI DOC 3 plus M4TD integration with Flock ALPR and Flock 91 down. All of that we're getting. And then everything else that you see besides that Flock Aerodome 3D digital radar station, what that is for additional fee, you can have this radar station that's out there, which will allow us to fly to 400 feet, which we don't need.
So when you say radar station, you're not referring to radar, speed radar,
Kurt, no.
Just wanted to make sure on that. Chief, what is in the asset forfeiture budget right now, dollars and cents?
We have in federal, there's 170 and change, and then we have a state one, which I didn't have that number.
170,000?
Yes.
So this, okay, that's sitting there right now, and if this passes, you'd be using 50.
Correct. That it'll definitely fund us through 3 years. And like I said, there's money in the hopper, if you will, right now. It just takes time to go through, you know, the federal system and then ultimately back to the police department.
Is there anything that the state police or other federal authority in Rhode Island, do they have any drone or drones that could be utilized at our request?
Not that I know of. We would be the first that has this type of program. Newport is putting it into their budget for July 1. Cranston's, I spoke with their chief. They are applying for a grant to do this. Providence is looking to buy 3. I did talk to the state police. They looked at this program, but ultimately for them, a drone doesn't, it's too big. So they have highway cameras that they utilize. So that works for them. A drone program isn't for them.
With this drone,
you have 2 minutes, Chair.
Thank you. I know for certain, particularly during the summer months, the fire department often gets calls for a fire, and it may be a little brush fire. It could be a charcoal grill fire, false calls, et cetera, et cetera. This drone, the capability of this drone, from the time, and I'll use my ward, from the time that drone is triggered at the police station to the time it gets to Rocky Point, we're talking a matter of seconds for it to get there?
No. The drone flies relatively 40 to 60 miles per hour, again, depending on conditions. You know, it's as the crow flies, if you will, so it can get from the police department to Rocky Point fairly quickly. We're talking about minutes.
How many?
Just a few minutes.
Okay.
I'm not sure the exact distance. I'm assuming we're probably about 5 to 6 miles.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's all I have. Any other questions from members of the committee? Yeah. Go ahead, Councilman Napa.
And I just want to clarify on that California case. So that's a class action lawsuit filed against Flock for violation of California's privacy laws that wouldn't be applicable here, and that's they're still defending that suit, so it hasn't gone up to the Supreme Court. From my quick,
okay, the one I saw was for violating constitutional rights of basically someone is guilty until they have to prove themselves innocent. That's what I had. Again, it's something that you know you see on social media, so maybe it's active or accurate, maybe it's not. Thank you. Anyways, Councilman Muto.
Thank you. What else can we use this this drone for? Obviously, the primary purpose is for policing in 911 calls. I'm thinking recently we've had a blizzard come through. We have hurricanes come through. We have other types of natural disasters. Are we able to leverage this technology for documentation of our coastline, of our areas, to help us with getting other federal money?
100%. And also, like I said, with helping fire too. So I'm sure we see fire trucks responding to calls, right? It seems like it's a lot of them sometimes. We can get that drone out real quickly and then provide them with that same information that we would provide our own officers. No smoke showing. Nothing on fire, if you will, and that would assume alter their response, just like it would alter ours if we're sending 3 or 4 cars across the city, priority 2, lights and sirens. We get a drone on scene and we realize what the caller is saying isn't happening. We can slow down those cars, reroute a few cars, so it can work both for us, fire, and yes, we can use it for coastal storms, hurricanes, stuff like that.
Right. Thank you. One clarifying question. I know we're going to beat this to death shortly. When you mention about the privacy and the controls, you mentioned the word ordinance. Is it an ordinance or is it the service level agreement we have with Flock of their protections?
Well, when I mention ordinance, I'm mentioning that specifically for the ALPR capabilities of the drone. So our as I remember the ordinance stating that it can't be on a moving object. And I think the original intent of that ordinance was to have a ALPR attached to a vehicle, a cruiser, which some agencies do have on the drive-through parking lots to see if they can find stolen vehicles. So with that part of the ordinance in effect, it's a moving vehicle. We wouldn't be able to use the ALPR function of a drone. Okay.
Thank you. I'm sure we're going to get into it deeply. Thank you.
Thank you. I see no lights on this side. I think Councilman DeLuise, your light was on first. If you would, please.